you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Out of your mind, of your mind, of your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think the Bible is a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Thursday, everybody, it's Crab Diving Live, blasting at you from Los Angeles, California, Koreatown, US of A. It's a little bit after 2 p.m. out here in the Pacific Coast, a little bit after 5 if your ear holes be sucking us in out east. If it ain't that time, perhaps you're listening to us as a rerun on the Crab Diving Network, streaming for you 24/7, or you have downloaded us as a podcast at iTunes, at Stitcher, or at crabdiving.com. Or any of the other various places you can find us on the internet, scrawled on bathroom walls, perhaps. We're going to be here for the next couple of hours. I can't imagine we're going to be talking about anything.
Nah.
But 76 minutes of gold that was spun by our president or a little bit earlier.
Oh, my God.
In a press conference, plus all kinds of other stuff. Slinging e-turds at the right. Thanks for joining us. My name's Patrick Vile.
My name's Ryan Pfeiffer. Was it really that long?
I believe it was 76
God
minutes. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
It went fast because it was entertaining.
It was.
And terrifying.
It was like dog minutes. Yeah.
Fucking A, man.
Terrifying. Like you said, he was supposed to be talking about the fact he was supposed to announce the fact that they picked a new dude for. Interior?
Labor,
something.
Guy.
Acosta,
yeah. Did it? Listen,
who, by the way, is as far as these guys go, is far less heinous. I was reading up about Acosta. He's really, like I said, again with the litmus test being utter batshittery, setting fires to everything you touch.
Yes,
or not, or
right.
Slightly less than that. Well, you know, we're enjoying. Slightly less than that, and considering that a victory.
Jesus.
And that's kind of what this guy is. He's, you know, he may be a Republican and stuff,
you know,
but he seems like he's not completely, utterly bad
doesn't
shit.
Doesn't he teach?
And he was
he
on
a professor
labor board.
Somewhere or something?
Well, yeah.
I have two thoughts, and I want to get them out before I forget them. Number one, is this a moment? Is this a landmark moment? I don't know. In the whole Trump thing, is this a turning point, this press conference?
I mean,
because there's been so much crazy shit, but this seems particularly jarring. And how about that motherfucker? Like, okay, number one, Ben Carson is his head of HUD, urban development, housing and urban development.
Yeah,
right?
I've got clips. Yeah,
and he talks to the one
right.
Black reporter. He's like, hey, introduce me to Elijah Cummings.
Yeah,
you guys know each other.
That's on the list of lowlights of what. Oh, it's 77 minutes. Forgive me. I said 76, which leads us. We might as well just do the it absolutely is the headline. So
are
let's
you out?
Oops, that's the wrong button.
God damn. I mean,
for these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studios, high atop the Crab Diving Tower, Los Angeles, California. Dateline, February 16th, 2017.
The year of our fucking Lord.
These are your headlines. Oh.
God damn it, turkey.
Over at the Comedy Bingo Liberal,
Huffington
Post, it's a 77-minute meltdown.
Damn.
Is the headline.
Amazing.
With a montage of facial expressions from POTUS.
Facial.
From during this press conference, this... God, I mean, it was batshit. It really was.
bizarre.
Yeah. So many, so many lowlife.
Oh my God. I mean, how do you describe this pattern he has of speaking where at the end of a sentence, he'll just repeat like the last few words of the sentence over and over again?
It was a wonderful time, a wonderful time.
I know. Like, what does that mean about you if you do that? You're fucked up?
Well, I think it's when he reads shit and then he emphasizes it. Like when he's speaking off the cuff, he doesn't do that. But if he reads something, then he decides he agrees with it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Jesus fucking Christ.
We've got more crime than we've ever had before.
So
I agree with that. Yeah. What somebody wrote for me.
So I guess fuck it. Right, why do we care why he does it? Who knows? He's nuts. But how does it make us feel? Does it make you feel more at ease? Doesn't it, or does it freak you the fuck out? Our president's crazy.
Bad shit. Yeah. Tweet us during the show, ladies and gentlemen. One word at crab diving, CRABDIVING. You can also hurl us a message over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/crabdiving. I tweeted out not all that long ago, in fact, hey, good thing Trump came out to calm all our fears that there's a petty raving lunatic running the country and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys feel better?
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to go out and make everybody feel better. No, it was, I'm going to go out with, the gun that Jesse Ventura got to use in Predator.
Oh, that gun of his?
That, like, that Gatling needle needle slinger or whatever. Yes. Yeah, that thing.
You know, if you're mentally ill, you can buy one of those. Nobody cares.
And Trump essentially was going to go out and do that to the press, to the lion lamestream media press. And he can't believe that the story is still this Russia bullshit.
Next!
When the story is the leak. The leaks are 100% true, Ryan. Yeah, these leaks are true. They asked him. The leaks are true.
Right.
Yes, and that's the problem. And they're illegal. But the stuff in the leaks is that you're tied to Russia. You just admitted that the leaks are true.
Yeah.
It's what's in the leaks. When he was doing Weekend, when he said there's a bunch of memes out there already of him in October before the election saying WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Who cares how we got it? It's what's in the messages that's important. It's what's in the emails. And now he's saying, who cares what's in the information? It's how we got it. It's the leaks that are bad.
I mean, he's nuts.
It's unreal.
You're right. What people are saying about that press conference is there are too many things to cover.
Yeah.
There are too many major headlines for that. But I will say this. You can cut. It had... In terms of, like, isms, it had racism, right? There's racism.
Xenophobia.
Yes. What else happened? There's no sexism. Was there any sexism?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Hey, can you introduce me to your black friends?
I'm making this presentation directly to the American people with the media present, which is an honor to have you. This morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth.
This is reading. He's reading this.
Reporters and folks. What does that mean? Reporters and folks. I mean, that's weird.
Reporters and folks will not tell you the truth and will not treat the wonderful people of our country with the respect that they deserve. And I hope going forward we can be a little bit different and maybe get along a little bit better if that's possible. Maybe it's not, and that's okay too. Unfortunately, much of the media in Washington, D.C., along with New York, Los Angeles in particular, speaks not for the people.
New York and Los Angeles, the media, of course, especially New York and Los Angeles, speaks not for the people. So again, it's the marginalization of the major areas of our
country.
That
plays into his narrative where he told his base, hey, nobody cares about you.
Right.
Nobody cares about you, racist.
Right.
Shit.
But for the special interests and for those profiting off a very, very obviously broken system. The press has become so dishonest that if we don't talk about it, we are doing a tremendous disservice to the American people. Tremendous disservice. We have to talk about it to find out what's going on, because the press honestly is out of control. The level of dishonesty is out of control.
That's how he started. This is tremendous. This is his announcement of his new labor secretary nominee.
Right, but it does sound like Festivus. Here's why I'm upset. I'm pissed. God damn it, Donald. I mean, there was nothing gracious about this. There was nothing
gracious.
Yeah. He's not mending any fences. I would think at this point, based on how things were going, you would want to go out there and say, "Hey, listen, I don't hate people that aren't white, you know."
Right.
Maybe you'd want to say something like that, because, you know, per his policies, you might think he did or does.
Yes.
I don't know. And also, shouldn't he say something about, listen, don't worry about that weird little spindly Nazi who was out speaking this weekend at all the news shows. I'm getting rid of him or something.
No, he wrote, what Donald Trump said just now about the lying media.
I'm having this, like, listening to that press conference. I don't know about you, but I had these waves of where I just started hating everyone that I know that voted for this fuckhead, including a mutual friend of ours who we know both worked on the guy's fucking campaign or something.
Yes.
Fuck him. That's nuts.
Welcome, newcomers. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
There you go.
I think I like Festivus.
Classic, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. What's his name? What's his fucking name? Stiller.
Yeah, Jerry Stiller.
Oh, my God. He's so fucking funny.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
You ever listen to old... old like radio shows with him on it, or old variety shows with Jerry Stiller.
Well,
he's funny.
He and his wife used to have a comedy duo.
Oh yeah,
Stiller and Mira. way back in the day.
Festivus. Donald Trump had Festivus. He celebrated fucking Festivus.
Except it's every day.
Yeah, it's all the time.
Every day is Festivus to Donald Trump.
Oh shit. Does he look happy to you? Does he seem happy?
Oh, my God. It was beyond crazy. There's a Ross Story has a story. Also, we put it up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/crabdiving. Don't forget, if you want to help us out here at Screaming Liberal Media, you can buy shit through our Amazon portal if you're going to buy it on the internets.
Yay.
Go to crabdiving.com/Amazon. Whatever you buy, we get a little nibble, a little tickle, a little commission. Doesn't cost you anything.
Oh, shit.
Just helps us out here.
Take a breath.
I need to pace myself.
Take a breath. Shitler's fucking us. Honestly.
Somebody over, Brad Reed over at the Raw Story, plucked 7 moments. Trump just gave a weapons-grade crazy press conference, he says. Here are the 7 most insane moments. This is according to this guy. Trump says that that's what I just said, that while the leaks coming out of this administration are real, the news stories being written about them are still fake news.
What?
He again falsely claimed that his Electoral College victory this past November was the biggest since Ronald Reagan's.
Oh, yeah.
That's an incorrect fact.
Okay, now if you take any truthiness or expectations of being real away from that statement, then it's not that crazy. He just lied.
That's not a fact.
Well, maybe he didn't lie. What is it? It's not that you... See, with him, we have to examine all the different types of lying.
Well, there's...
I
think it's the Washington... One of the Washington papers, okay. Post maybe even said that they don't want to directly call him a liar or call it a lie unless it's pretty obvious and it's known that he knows it's not true. They think that he believes his shit. Like, he still thinks that millions, up to maybe 20 million... voted illegally in this country.
Does he think...
Because he watches Alex Jones.
Does he think more people attended his inauguration
yeah.
than any other inauguration in history. But see, that's...
He's changed a little to say biggest, most watched. But the only proof of that is on the internet. But that could also be how many of these have been on the fucking internet since there's been an internet? Well, 3, 4 of them have
at
streamed.
At the most.
Yeah. Live stream.
So that could be true. Right. But he doesn't say that.
Who knows? Grover Cleveland may have broken all the records.
Right. But see, I think he might be lying there. He knows in his heart that not his inauguration was not the most heavily attended.
Correct.
But I do think he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about when he's like, hey, I had the most electoral votes since Reagan. I mean, he doesn't know that, right? He might not know that. Why would he fucking know that?
I don't know.
What a lunatic, man.
He said he was this one he'd been prepped on. He was ready for this one.
Okay.
He didn't get that usual blank look on his face when people say, you know, words that he doesn't understand.
Nuclear triad. But
this was, well, you're mad at the leagues now.
Yes.
But you can't wait to get a couple of knuckles deep to tickle the prostate of Julian Assange.
I was like,
from WikiLeaks.
Who am I fucking fisting right up the ass?
You can't wait.
I can't wait.
Why are you okay with WikiLeaks but not with it was like the one question the kid studied in class.
I know.
Right.
Okay.
I know this one. I'm ready for this one.
oh my God.
He basically said, when asked to resolve the contradiction between his current crusade against leaks purportedly coming out from the intelligence community and his past praise of WikiLeaks for its leaking of damaging information, he falsely claimed that WikiLeaks doesn't leak classified information. Well, they don't leak classified information. It was Podesta's emails just talking bad about Hillary. And he said, if anyone talked about me that worked for me like that, they'd be gone.
Oh, jeez. It's so fuzzy. Didn't he say something about, or am I out of my mind? Didn't he say something about a Hillary Clinton and weapons or Russia, like plutonium or something like that?
Oh, yeah. He, something to do with Russia.
Yes.
But he put out that debunked news story that InfoWars WND Breitbart / bullshit media news story.
Yes.
That something she did somehow 20 million pounds of uranium or 20% of the uranium. It's not true.
Some bullshit fact about uranium, Hillary Clinton, nuclear weapons.
It's just not true.
He just fucking lied.
Yes.
And
that's straight from batshit Breitbart media kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you think he believes those stories on Breitbart and InfoWars? Like, do you think he believes, even though it's been debunked, it was a soccer jersey? Does he believe that was a prayer rug at the border?
I don't know. He probably doesn't even know about that one.
What?
That's a little too specific.
Yeah. I mean, God. What a bizarro. He's nuts.
He dismissed these town hall protesters at GOP town halls because most of them are Democrats. But it's no longer a GOP town hall, you cum dribble.
Yeah,
it's,
dickhead.
It's a fucking representative town hall. The Democrats are allowed to go because that asshole in Congress also is supposed to represent them, too.
Yeah.
Not just the Republicans.
Right.
They won, but you don't just represent those people anymore. You're supposed to represent the best interests of all the people in your district, you assholes.
Is that how he runs Trump Enterprises or whatever the fuck he's called? Is that how he runs his business? He gets a bunch of people together, and instead of bringing people together, he tries to polarize things, pit people against each other?
Yeah.
Because, like, how partisan?
Apparently, that's what they say.
They were Democrats. Because he's president now. He should be reaching out, be more inclusive. Because Obama fucking did that, right? I mean, when he got elected, he reached out to the Republicans in Congress. He tried to work with the motherfuckers. I don't see this from Schittler.
When asked about his repeated praise of Russian President Vladimir, Uncle Nibbles Putin, Trump once again said he hoped to get along with the Kremlin while not guaranteeing that he would be able to do so. I don't know. He started saying, now maybe you guys ruined everything.
It was us.
Maybe the media. Maybe now he can't because of what the media did and all the lies that it would look bad. And maybe you've ruined all of my deals with him.
It really is Festivus. Here's why I hate you. He actually had a conference. I'm going to bring about a shit ton of people into a room, and I'm going to tell you why I hate you.
Well, he may be terrified that that deal won't matter anymore. And Uncle Nipples might just say, hey, TMZ, here's the Trump pee-pee tape. Right?
I mean, if
he's no longer useful to Uncle Nipples.
Uncle Nipples
in that capacity, he might be like, fuck it.
Hey, dude. Fuck
that
off.
Shit on pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Shit. He said also that the relations between the two, it's important that we get along because otherwise it would result in nuclear holocaust. And he said,
my God.
And with all the power that we have, quote, nuclear holocaust would be like no other.
that's the most insane. That's the headline.
They're
right?
A very powerful nuclear country. So are we. Nuclear holocaust would be like no other.
Now, has Politico weighed in on how factual that statement is?
I think I might actually.
You think that's true?
I won't give him any Pinocchios on that one. I agree that nuclear holocaust.
That's accurate.
I agree that nuclear holocaust would be like no other. Trumpian wisdom.
Thanks for the gong, Kate. I mean, it was funny. She doesn't even use a mallet. She just rings it with her little nose. Hilarious.
Trump got into a little fight and shouted down a yes. Jewish reporter who asked him about rising anti-Semitism. This is the same shit he did yesterday when he had that press conference with Bibi Netanyahu. And even though he asked American journalists,
yes,
hard-hitting journalists like
Ooh.
Town Hall, batshit right-wing crazy, and fucking Christian Broadcasting Network, Pat Robertson's fucking network got the first question.
That's nuts.
But Bibi Netanyahu picked a guy that asked a real question.
Bibi.
About this rising anti-Semitism. And you know, what do you say to people that say that you guys kind of, don't distance yourselves from it, basically, or whatever, that you kind of ride that wave?
Trump got pissed
and said his first thing was, I'm so thrilled to have 306 electoral votes, the massive victory, and people love me and everything. I was only supposed, BB, did you see? I was only supposed to get 220. Did you see that? I had no path past 220, and I got 306. And BB's like, yeah.
Break out the butterfly nets.
Okay.
This dude's bananas.
He did the same thing today.
Oh, yeah.
When another guy said, he got pissy, though. It's not a fair question, he said.
Yeah.
How do you plan to address the rise of anti-Semitic hate crimes around the country? Trump shot back him for supposedly asking an unfair question. He said the reporter then told him to sit down.
Good God.
And then said, I am the least anti-Semitic person in the world.
Okay.
And I am the least racist person in the world.
Now, I'm going to push back. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that he's the least racist person on the planet. I mean, because go to facebook.com/crabdiving. Didn't the FBI release some documents about that whole lawsuit that was brought against him about, not letting black people rent his...
Oh, it was a Freedom of Information Act, yeah. That people wanted more of the transcripts of when they went after him for keeping black people out of
out of his places. There were.
I posted about that. Some of the quotes are nuts.
There were some where they tripled the rent to a black person. They offered they said, "Well, yeah, it's open, but it's $9,000 a month." When really it was $3,000 a month. They also,
that skin color is going to cost you.
They also told black people would walk up and say, "Hey, do you guys, you guys got any apartments vacant?" And they would say, "No." 10 minutes of white people, a couple of white people walk up and say, "Hey, you got any apartments?" "Oh yeah, come on."
So I don't know that he's the least racist. Is he the most anti-Semitic? Most non-anti-Semitic, sorry.
I don't Trump?
Know. Right.
It's very bizarre. He may not give a shit. Honestly, he may not care about the Jews. I don't think he gives fuck all, to be honest with you.
But why employ Bannon?
Well, I think Bannon does. I think Trump that's not a deal breaker for him. Right. Or Bannon denies it to Trump and Trump believes him.
Oh my God. Speaking of Bannon, did you hear Rachel Maddow yesterday? She talked about Bannon, about some domestic abuse case back in the day in the mid-90s. He chased his wife around his apartment, and she tried to call 911, and he smashed their portable phone so she couldn't call.
Oh, really?
And then,
he seems like such a cuddle bear. I can't imagine.
A fucking asshole.
Wait, wife?
Yeah, he was married. He was married.
God, can you?
I know.
It's like that Stephen Miller. You can't imagine. And, yeah. Even a dog would be hard pressed to love these fuckers.
Yeah. And then he when he stood trial for those charges, his wife wasn't there to be a witness at the trial because he told her to get out of town.
I see.
I mean, it's pretty fucked up.
Yikes. So then this moment that Ryan talked about before, April Ryan she's a White House correspondent, I believe, a radio person, American Urban Radio, asked about the congressional, something to do with the Congressional Black Caucus.
She said, why wouldn't you meet with them or something? Right.
It was something to do with, I thought I absolutely hit, there it is. Something to do with, there was some initiative that he's signing another one of these executive orders this afternoon. I don't know what exactly it entails. He wouldn't even say because he wants to keep it a secret. I don't want to let you know until we announce it later.
He's running the country like a goddamn reality show. We're teasing you.
She asked him about what his agenda is for urban areas. He talked about it during the election.
Yes.
But okay, here's a little bit of the exchange.
Good God.
Child out of school with a few months left. She and Barron will be moving over to the White House. Okay. Thank you. It's a very nice question.
By the way, a couple of times during this, he said, I'm looking for someone who's going to ask me a nice question.
Yes. Thank you. That's a very nice question.
And then some toady asked a question about basically, how's Melania doing?
Right.
That's the question he was talking about. I love that question. It's great. Thank you.
God, how old is Barron?
10.
And Schittler is 79?
70.
70. God, he had that kid when he was 60 years old.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Go ahead.
Mr. President.
Yes. I know this is going to be a bad question, but that's okay.
What's happening
today? Because I enjoy watching you on television. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much. Mr. President, I need to find out from you. You said something as it relates to inner cities. That was one of your platforms during your campaign.
Now, fixing the inner cities. Yeah?
Fixing the inner cities. What will be that fix and your urban agenda, as well as your HBCU executive order that's coming out this afternoon? Now, see, it wasn't bad, was it?
That was very professional and very good.
We'll
be announcing the order in a little while, and I'd rather let the order speak for itself, but it'll be something I think that will be very good for everybody concerned. But we'll talk to you about that after we do the announcement. As far as the inner cities, as you know, I was very strong on the inner cities during the campaign. I think it's probably what got me a much higher percentage of the African-American vote.
There he goes.
Well, now, is that a much higher percentage of the African vote than what?
Oh, they all can't wait for the stop and frisk to be implemented that he's talking about, and for the legions of armored jackboots to come through their neighborhoods and start like knocking some heads together.
Like in Chicago, at train stops, at subway stops, where they're tossing your bag if you're not white.
Right.
That kind of bullshit. Huh. God. I mean, just whatever. So bizarre, though. Do you remember an Obama press conference where he calls on someone and says, I'm sure this is going to be a bad question, but go ahead. I enjoy watching you on TV. Who the fuck is this guy?
I know this is going to be a bad question.
Don't you want to hang out with Obama and watch him watch one of these?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see.
Well, he's busy organizing that army in the bunker in Washington, right?
Per Alex Jones, yes.
It's funny that they must have put a green screen up of him parasailing down in the Bahamas.
With Branson?
Right, with Branson, right? That must be all fake.
Right.
So Trump goes on here.
Then a lot of people thought I was going to get. We did much higher than people thought I was going to get. And I was honored by that.
By the way,
including
the Hispanic
vote, which was also much higher. And by the way, if I might add, including the women's vote, which was much higher than people thought I was going to get. So we are going to be working very hard on the inner cities having to do with education, having to do with crime. We're going to try and fix as quickly as possible. You know, it takes a long time. It's taken 100 years and more for some of these places.
We're going to very specific, Don. I'm going to help the inner cities by tackling education and crime.
What is that? How are we? What do you mean tackle it?
And what? How? That's the thing. We know you want to tackle that. You're going to tackle jobs, too. We're going to get more jobs. How?
How are you going to
get more jobs?
DeVos is tackling education. Well, like, she's going to tackle it and then kill it.
Yeah, she's...
stab it to death.
She's skull-fucking education.
Speaking of education, just real quick. God damn it. There's a story on the Daily Cause about school lunches. And how Congress wants
the Daily Causes.
Daily Cause? K-O-S.
Oh, K-O-S. Oh, okay.
How do you say it?
I say Cause. It might be Cause.
Daily Cause. I don't know. They want to make it. They're worried about fraud. Kids, you know, poor kids are supposed to get free lunch at school. And so they're worried about kids that shouldn't qualify for the free lunch, but they get it anyway.
Right.
They think there's tremendous fraud there on the part of the students. So now they're going to make it harder to qualify for free lunches.
Oh, that's good.
Because we're worried about the massive fraud of these hungry children. God, I mean, fuck that.
As quickly as possible. You know, it takes a long time. It's taken 100 years and more for some of these places to evolve, and they evolved, many of them, very badly. But we're going to be working very hard on health and health care, very, very hard on education, and also we're going to be working in a stringent way, in a very good way, on crime. You go to some of these inner city...
No, it's that stringent way on hard. Crime.
Stringent, hard.
Jeff Sessions and I got together.
We got hard.
Oh, yeah, we got really hard talking about how we're going to crack down on crime on the inner city.
Jeff Sessions, he more of a... What? Is Trump a top?
Who knows what goes
fucking
on?
Knows.
Place. He may like Melania to peg him.
And it's so sad
pegging.
When you look at the crime. You have people, and I've seen this, and I've sort of witnessed it. In fact, in two cases, I have actually witnessed it. They lock themselves.
Did you sort of?
I've seen this. I've sort of witnessed it. I've heard cases of. No, I saw two cases of it.
He said sort of and then actually.
In one sentence, he went through like five different iterations of the existence of this possibility.
But he went through
every realm of possibility.
To certainty.
Right.
Who
maybe
talks
sorta,
like this?
Kinda, possibly. Definitely. I saw it.
God damn. It's like.
Sort of witnessed it. In fact, in two cases, I have actually witnessed it. They lock themselves into apartments, petrified to even leave.
Who is this?
In the middle of the day.
He's talking about the inner cities.
Oh, come on.
Fuck you,
Donald. It's so stupid.
They're living in hell. We can't let that happen. So we're going to be very, very strong. It's a great question, and it's a very difficult situation.
because it's been many, many years. It's been festering for many, many years. But we have places in this country that we have to fix. We have to help African-American people that, for the most part, are stuck there, Hispanic-American people. We have Hispanic-American people that...
You know, not all inner cities are black, by the way. There are economically depressed white people, too, out there.
Oh, my God.
They're in the inner cities, and they're living in hell. I mean, you look at the numbers in Chicago.
There we go.
There are two Chicagos, as you know. There's one Chicago that's credible, luxurious, and all. And
those are the only parts I go in.
Oh, right.
And, you know, I have a beautiful tower right there on the Chicago River.
You know, Chicago, it is divided, though, by transit, you know. Like, if you look in the north side of the city, those trains and the subways, they sprawl throughout. They go east and west and north, you know, in all directions. But if you go south, there's just one line that goes straight to the south side of Chicago. And it's bigger than the north side. And it's got to be, I mean, you know.
That's where all the black people
are. If you're poor, you don't have as much access to transit.
Safe. There's another Chicago that's worse than almost any of the places in the Middle East that we talk about and that you talk about every night on the newscasts. So we're going to do a lot of work on the inner cities. I have great people lined up to help with the inner cities.
Well, when you say the inner cities, are you going to include the CBC, Mr. President, in your conversations with your urban agenda, your inner city agenda, as well as
Are you
going to include the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional
Hispanic
Caucus?
Well, I would. I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
No.
Are they friends of yours?
Are they friends of yours, April? Black person, excuse me. Do you know? Could you and Ben Carson get together and Omarosa?
You know,
I think I might be out of black people. He knows.
I don't know. You know, I was. Doesn't he sound like Mel Brooks from Spaceballs?
Sheriff Clark,
Scroob.
Oh yeah,
he really does. It's a nutball. Why would you? If he was talking to Dan Rather, right at that moment, would he ask Dan Rather, can you introduce me to the Black Caucus, or can you call them for me? Will you contact the Black Caucus for me? What a racist wacko. I mean, he's at a press conference. So we're seeing him at his best behavior, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, he set this up.
No, my God. Yeah, this is his choice. That's the crazy thing. He chose to do this.
Absolutely.
Controlling all the variables. This is the one that should have went off without a hitch. Right?
it went off the rails. Off the rails. And he did accurately predict that the media will be playing tapes of this and saying that he was crazy and went off the... And he goes, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm very calmly discussing how I think you're all lying sacks of shit.
Right.
And evilly trying to kill me. And the hate. Remember that part?
Yes.
And the hate. I turn on, especially your channel.
He looks at you.
Poor Jim Acosta from CNN. Your channel, especially. All the hate. Oh, I wanted to check that out. He specifically said, 10 p.m. He said the 10 p.m. show.
Yes.
So that'd be Eastern.
Right.
On CNN. Remember? He said, especially that 10 p.m. show.
What show is that?
I think it's got to be.
Is it Cooper?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is it Coop? Is it Andy Coop?
Or is that who's that dickhead?
No, that's 8 to 9 p.m.
Oh, is this the dickhead who said?
It's a panel show, he said.
Oh, it's not the guy that said a plane disappeared in a wormhole?
Don Lemon, I don't believe.
Douche.
No, I don't believe it's him.
Douche.
CNN Tonight.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
Oh, so it's just a bunch of talking heads?
Yeah, I guess.
God, he sits around watching cable all day.
Yeah, he enjoys, he said, told April Ryan he enjoys seeing her on TV.
That's crazy. I enjoy.
You going to include the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional
Hispanic
Caucus?
Well, I would.
Caucus,
I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
No.
Are they friends of yours?
No,
set up the meeting.
I know some of them, but I'm sure.
Set up the meeting.
I know some of them because I'm a fucking reporter.
You know black people.
Not because I'm black.
I've always wanted to meet Stevie Wonder.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Can you set up a lunch?
Done.
Golf. We'll play golf.
List some black people you want to meet. I'll make it happen. Good heavens.
Sure, let's go set up a meeting. I would love to meet with the Black Caucus. I think it's great, the Congressional Black Caucus. I think it's great. I actually thought I had a meeting with Congressman Cummings, and he was all excited. And then he said, oh, I can't move. It might be bad for me, but let it back. I can't have that meeting. I was all set to have the meeting. You know, we called him and called him, and he was all set. I spoke to him on the phone. Very nice guy.
I hear he wanted that meeting with you as well.
He wanted it. But we called. They can't make a meeting with him. Every day I walk in, I say,
Elijah Cummings is, I believe, Ryan, he's questioning the truthiness of that statement.
Oh, yes. He's calling bullshit.
He says that
it never fucking happened.
That it never happened.
I mean, can you imagine him not wanting to meet with the president?
Right.
I mean, at least for the good of his constituents.
I would like to meet with him because I do want to solve the problem. But he probably was told by Schumer or somebody like that, some other lightweight. He was probably told,
he was probably told,
don't meet with Trump. It's bad politics. And that's part of the problem.
I mean, this is kind of how this is just what the tone was of this whole. It's just so sad. And then certainly over at the fucking Drudge Report, man. Trump eats the press for lunch.
I mean, I guess in the fact that...
But they're pro.
They left him frustrated. Wait, who said Trump?
Drudge.
Oh, Drudge said
they
that.
They think, yeah, they're thrilled at how Trump whipped out the big orange schlong.
You know, I forgot what Talking Head said this week. I think we were playing MSNBC in studio after this loony press conference. Like, if this craziness gets in the way of the GOP and their agenda, they're going to be done with him. I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
it's already hurting their ability to do stuff. Yeah, they're going to just turn on him. Here from NBC. Peter Alexander, one of the reporters slash anchors there.
Yes.
Really earning his spot in the gulag. Listen to this question.
Go ahead.
Mr. President.
You okay?
You said, I just want to get on table. Very simply, you said today that you had the biggest electoral margin since Ronald Reagan with 304 or 306. Electoral votes. In fact, President Obama got 365.
Well, I'm talking about the
president. President Obama, 332, and George H.W. Bush, 426, when he won as president. So why should Americans trust?
Well, no, I was told, I was given that information. I don't know. I was just given. We had a very, very big margin.
I guess my question is, why should Americans trust you when you accuse the information they receive of being fake when you're providing?
Well, I don't know.
Why should Americans trust you?
Right.
Well, I don't know. I was given that information. So.
Well, so what, dickhead?
I was given that information that it was the biggest victory ever. I was given that mission information.
Why didn't the reporter
Peter
say
Alexander is like, well, actually,
yeah,
Obama won by more. George Bush won by more.
All the presidents before
it's
you.
It's just a lie.
Won by more.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you're going to say that, shouldn't you know that fact?
Margin.
I guess my question is, why should Americans trust you when you accuse the information they receive of being fake when you're providing this?
Well, I don't know. I was given that information. I've seen that information around, but it was a very substantial victory. Do you agree with that?
You're the president.
Okay, thank you. That's a good answer. Yes.
That's a good answer. But he was Peter Alexander. He said, it was a very big, significant victory. Do you agree with that? And Peter Alexander said, you're the president.
No shit. Yeah.
But it wasn't that bigly of a victory.
Right. I mean, you won. What does he want people to do? I mean, to me, I mean, he could spin the election as a big victory. He was an unlikely candidate to win. We all thought he would be an unlikely candidate to win, and he won. Mm-hmm. So why couldn't that be a big victory? Like, hey, listen, I was the underdog, and somehow I eked out a victory. There's no shame in that, I guess, unless he cheated and got Uncle Nipples to help him. And, oh, you know what? There's shame in all of this. There's so much shame in all of this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just shameful. It's shameful that we got that this guy's elected. Oh, yeah. God.
Less than a month ago, it was.
And you're right.
It was a nice, nice, calm little.
Oh, shit, dude.
And you're right, man. It wasn't the bad shittery.
I mean, you tweeted out, we can't let this press conference and nuttiness make us forget about Russia.
Right.
And all that shit.
That's what he wants.
Well, mission fucking accomplished.
He's trying to force everybody to ignore the Russia stuff. The big story is the lying media. What are they lying about? That's what I want. I want people to ask him what examples. What are you talking about? What's today's lie? What are you pissed about today?
Right. And if he's following the true tenets and the spirit of Festivus, then your complaints should be fucking stated out clearly. We should know exactly what the media lied about. It's Festivus, motherfucker. You're supposed to air your grievances. And they need to be specific, right? In that,
he's got a lot. Isn't that the Festivus? I got a lot to say to you people.
But he doesn't. He just says, ah, oh, the media lies. How do they lie? Ah, oh, they're assholes. Whatever.
God. Yeah. Amazing.
He should have been in Game of Thrones or something. He should have been a king in Game of Thrones.
And usually, when it's going that poorly, they can't wait to get out of there. He just kept going. I'll give him credit.
Yeah.
A little bit for staying power.
He likes it, you know.
But man, I mean, God, and I, you know, what's going to happen? They're going to edit it down on Fox. They're going to edit it down on Breitbart. Edit it down on all the loony papers. And he's going to be the hero taking on the press.
Oh, for sure.
The lying media, the lying liberal media. Look at him, right. The president. Smack them down. Tell them who's boss.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he didn't even announce the new labor secretary.
That's going on
nominee.
Right now. Well, he mentioned his name.
He wasn't even there. That's what this was supposed to be.
Acosta is the guy's name. And then when John Acosta, who is his arch rival from CNN, the president, they call it joking, but goddamn, if you listen to the tone of the, I don't have the clip, but
yeah,
when he's, gets into that little thing about, yeah, you're no relation to our new labor secretary nominee. And Acosta's like, no, ha, 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 ha. And Trump's right. Like, yeah, I told them to go check that family tree. And there was an edge to that humor. There really right. wasn't.
He was getting into, he was getting into a weird space.
Yes.
Do you remember when he kicked the guy from Telemundo out?
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
There you go.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Our show's kind of like Festivus.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
We air our grievances. That's the whole point.
Right. Every fucking day, every weekday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific on iTunes and Stitcher. And by the way, if you want to support this Festivus show, whatever right. you want to call
Festivus.
It. Festivus.
Fucking A. No.
I love it.
Should we put that one through committee?
Festivus. Oh, yeah. I love it. Go to crabdiving.com/Amazon. Buy whatever you want to off Amazon. We get a little cut.
Yeah.
We get paid. Festivus.
One voice,
yes,
over at Fox, however, we're still trying to figure out now with Roger Ailes gone. My theory was that
yes.
the only reason Shep Smith had a job over there at Fox
Bye.
Was because he had pictures of
yeah
of Roger Ailes really testicles deep yeah, yeah. in something.
I love Shep, man.
Here's Shep Smith talking about today's today's press
what do you want to call it? Orgy?
Treating Jim Acosta over there from CNN, an accomplished reporter, a guy I've never met, but a good reporter. I mean, treating him like he's... I'm not even going to use the word. I'm not going to give Twitter it's the love it needs. It's crazy what we're watching every day.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. He keeps repeating ridiculous throwaway lines that are not true at all and sort of avoiding this issue of Russia as if we're some kind of fools for asking the question. Really? Your opposition was hacked and the Russians were responsible for it, and your people were on the phone with Russia on the same day it was happening, and we're fools for asking the questions? No, sir. We are not fools for asking this question, and we demand to know the answer to this question. You owe this to the American people. Your supporters will support you either way. If your people were on the phone with her, what were they saying? We have a right to know. We absolutely do. And that you call us fake news and put us down like children for asking these questions on behalf of the American people is inconsequential. The people deserve that answer, at very least.
Holy shit. Holy shit, damn. Chef Smith, huh?
I love it.
Fox. Now, that's the thing. If I think I said it yesterday, if Fox News and these other outlets, not so much Breitbart, he'll never lose Breitbart.
No.
But
or InfoWars.
If Fox News, starts...
I mean, you're getting to
starts,
the point...
If it starts cracking, the ice starts cracking at Fox... Then he's doomed.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we get into this territory. It's like, well, how crazy does Fox want to come off? You know, I mean, because I think conservatives maybe can sort of justify getting their news from like a quasi-racist, sexist, shitty, fucking xenophobic news outlet if it at least looks like news and sounds like news and doesn't seem crazy.
Right.
Because how else do you cover this fucking press conference? I mean, he seemed nuts.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, you have to say there's no way you can report on this press conference and not use words like unhinged, crazy, rambling.
He tried to say, well, I understand. Look, I know when I deserve to have a story bad about me.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
Again, Mr. President, what's an example? Give us an example of a story out there that could be considered negative about you.
Yes.
That you agree with. Cricket. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a lie. It's a lie that I know when I should be criticized.
Shit.
Bullshit.
That fucking guy, you know what he does. He sits around all day watching cable news, and he's having a one-sided conversation with the fucking TV all the time. And he probably has a toady in the room with him chiming in, saying he's right, validating him.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's probably got a whole camp of yes men. They're there. I mean, they're saying yes and doing whatever he says just to stay on board the fucking gravy train. I mean, until it goes tits up and there ain't no more Trump. He gets, I don't know, impeached. Do you think they need the 25th Amendment?
There's a lot of that going around that they're not even going to impeach him. They just might invoke the 25th and declare him crazy.
Well, that's fine. He'll be crazy and he'll also be able to buy a gun. So good for him.
I mean, we might rather have the whole impeachment drag because that might drag down like Watergate. It might drag down a whole bunch of those turds in with the flush. You know what I mean?
I mean, would you be shocked if Pence was... I don't know. Was part of this whole Russia thing?
I think Pence is, would you? I think Pence is successfully hiding in a corner. He found the only corner in the Oval Office, which doesn't exist, to hide in.
Yesterday we were seeing hints that he's tied to this whole Russia thing, maybe.
No, the thing was that What's-His-Face lied to him. That was the...
Flynn.
Yeah, his knowledge of it. And the stories that were coming out were that he didn't know, that even Trump kept it from him.
Holy shit. I mean, but it seems like such a sloppy operation. I mean, when the intelligence community says things like, oh God, there was this ongoing, you know, communication between Trump's campaign and the Russians. You get the idea that nobody was careful.
Right.
I mean, if you're up to something and you're conniving, don't you cover your tracks?
Yeah, there's a story. They talked to a group of, I think it was prosecutors or defense attorneys or something like that.
Yes.
And they said, I think it was prosecutors or detectives.
Okay.
And they said they had like 10 classic guilty people things that he does.
Okay.
Like people do when they're guilty, just like deflecting. Right. It's all pretty self-explanatory, but... It's like he's guilty. He's so guilty. Trying to change the subject, trying to claim persecution, going after the institutions of law enforcement.
Right.
He's saying it's lies. They're lying. They're trying to bring me down. The intelligence community.
Yeah. They're trying to attack me rather than talk about real things. Man, like he's being made a villain. The world's against me.
Victim. Yeah. Victim mentality.
And you know, his fucking racist, white, redneck, dickhead fucking base identifies with that.
Being a victim?
Oh sure.
That's the whole Christian.
The white master race, the black people trying to ruin my country. They're taking my jobs.
Yeah, that's that whole Christian thing. Butthurt thing.
Yeah.
Are you persecuting me?
You guys are crucifying me.
Not really.
Nobody's crucifying you, Schittler.
Story coming out that regarding this Congressional Black Caucus thing, the Congressional Black Caucus tweeted out, "Hi, real Donald Trump. We're the CBC. We sent you a letter on January 19th, but you never wrote us back. Sad."
Sad.
And then they included a link to the letter.
Oh, that's funny.
And then April Ryan tweeted out, "I'm a journalist, not a convener, but thank you for answering my questions."
No shit. I don't have a, I'm not a conduit to all black people.
The one guy who's the host of News One Now, Roland Martin, called out Trump for being stuck on stupid with his ignorance about the CBC.
God,
he's
damn.
Like, you could tell he didn't know what she meant with CBC, and that's why she saved him.
Right. Oh, she did.
She saved him because he said with the CBC, are you going to include them? And he's like, include the what? Include the who?
Why didn't she just say the CBC?
And then she said the Congressional Black Caucus. Oh, yeah, the black ones. I know them.
God, she really did save him. That would have been an amazing moment.
Where she had to explain to him what the CBC
was,
right?
You know what the CBC is, don't you?
Yeah.
Nah.
Although, in his defense, there's a million anagrams and stuff. I don't know that I would have
Congressional Black Caucus. Of course, I mean, you might not.
I guess if April Ryan is asking the question about an urban housing and urban development and inner city
in that
type
context,
of deal, right, in that context.
You would know what the fuck she was talking about. And by the way, if you were president and it was your job to, I don't know about all this shit, you would definitely know that.
Yes.
I can't. George Bush would have known that. The lesser.
George Bush is the lesser.
Yeah.
The fun, funny one.
Yeah. Reagan might not have known that.
By the way, the
Reagan wouldn't have known that.
Another horrible, cheap advertisement from the president for fucking Fox News.
How do you mean?
You guys, your CNNs and your New York Timeses and your NBCs, you're all lying. You're all lying. Except for Fox.
Jesus
Except for
Christ.
Fox and Friends. Fox and Friends are good to me.
That's a quote. He said that. I love Fox and Friends because they're good to me. When a head of state endorses a media organization, aren't you sort of making that your state-run media, kind of? Obama never did that. I mean, I keep saying that over and over again. I never heard Obama say, God, you know, Morning Joe, you guys are the best. Why doesn't Trump endorse Morning Joe, by the way? They love the fuck
out of him. Oh, not anymore there. Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
And the way I understand it went down is early this morning, he was so sick of some of the things that they were saying about him. He said, I'm going to do a press conference. I'm going to answer a lot of questions. One, Steve Bannon last week said that he feels that the press has now become the...
That's fucking Eric Bolling. Greg Gutfeld is there. Juan Williams, Dana Perino. This is from Fox. And listen to Eric Bolling.
He's a vomit.
Yeah, just pre-coming like crazy because he's all thrilled about...
I think you can't be pre-coming like crazy because then that's just... You take off the pre.
Well, he's excited. He just has...
Right.
He's sitting there boned.
Ah!
the opposition party.
Yeah.
Jim Vandehei and Mike Allen this morning outlined that, and they would agree, has the press diminished the legitimacy or at least the influence of the Democrat Party?
What? So he's basically saying they're thrilled because it's about time that you rip the evil progressive Democrats out of the press. It's the Lugan Presse.
Oh,
it's
yes.
The Lion Press.
Nine.
Anything they bad they say about the Fuhrer is obviously from the Democrat press.
I mean, you know, what's the purpose of having a place where the media goes in the White House to ask the president questions if you don't want them to ask him questions? Why even have the media? Why do we have news organizations then?
I don't know when this, but at one point in this clip, Gutfeld says, Juan to Juan, he's the Fox News president. Everything he says, we've said.
Wow. Wow.
That's not a good thing.
No. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But who also says that? Alex fucking Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So right. It's so surreal to say something here and hear it come out of the president's mouth a couple days later.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know about amazing. Yes, I agree. It's surreal.
Yeah, I'll grant you, surreal.
Fucking insane.
How do you think we feel?
Right. Trump called up Alex Jones to thank him for all his help after he got elected. Can you believe that? The guy called up a guy who's a Sandy Hook truther and legitimized his fucking ass. Nuts.
A little bit of a crab diving follow-up here.
Crab diving follow-up.
We talked at length, I believe on Monday's show. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to crabdiving.com. If you download us from iTunes or Stitcher, be kind enough to leave us a review or thumbs or stars or rainbows, whatever the fuck you do to leave,
leave
people.
Leave us some motherfucking rainbows.
And if you would like to be kind enough to write a review, that's awesomer.
Yes.
But it helps get us out there. That would be awesome. Don't forget to share us on all the social medias and shit.
Spread the crabs.
On Monday's show, we covered the great Sunday morning performances of Trump. Pansy, Trumpkin, slithering, shark-eyed, creepazoid, Stephen Miller.
He's like a fucking Nazi zombie.
31 years old. We found out that he has been really a shitburger since high school.
Piece of human garbage trash.
There's even a story that I read. Basically, it was a speech coach or something like that who analyzed why Stephen Miller, him talking on Sunday evokes instant hatred in most people. Why most people just don't like him. He listed all the reasons. You know, there's a talk downingness to it. There's a lack of evidence, but you don't care. You still pander and talk down or pedantic tone. And just nothing, no charm, utterly and 100% devoid of any charm whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. Charm. That guy. He's the opposite. He's like, I mean.
Yeah, he's the Azkaban of charm.
I mean, it's got to be a deliberate choice.
Harry Potter.
Dude. Azkaban. Yeah. It's got to be a deliberate choice, though.
Azkaban.
To send the guy like that out there. I mean, there must be a reason Bannon or Trump or whoever decided to say, hey, listen, let's put this horrible piece of shit on television.
Knowing those idiots, they were probably sitting around in the White House steam room snapping towels at each other, talking about Stevie. How are we going to unleash Stevie on them?
Do they have a steam room Pennsylvania Avenue? They got to have one in there. Why not? Where else are they going to snap towels?
So now they've found some columns that of the Duke Chronicle that Stephen Miller wrote when he was a student there at the university.
Yeah.
He went after such things as political correctness. Of course. Apparently, they're saying that the columns were such a source of concern for his coworkers, when he was serving as a staffer to Alabama Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. One of the former staffers allegedly told Politico, quote, "There were rumors that spread around that he wrote these columns at Duke that really walked a fine line on racial issues, to put it mildly. I stood in a lot of hallway huddles."
Yes.
Where the talk was, because Alabama, the talk was, "My God, if you look at what he wrote in college, this is Alabama under Jeff Sessions."
God.
And they're like, "Holy shit.
He's racist.
He almost said the N-word."
I love him.
That's
so funny.
Slate has a little sampling.
Yes.
He wrote a column on America's longest war, the war on Christmas.
Oh, my God.
In 2005, he wrote, "Attack of the Secularist Scrooges."
Oh, fuck you.
"Christmas is being banned, whether it's holiday trees, holiday parties, holiday concerts, or, quote, happy holidays."
Yeah.
"The word Christmas is slowly being exiled from society. I, for one, am offended, and I'm Jewish."
It's not God. Okay, great points. You can say it in your house. You can say it out on the... You just can't say it. A public institution, you can't say, "Oh, Merry Christmas."
Yeah. How dare you try to take Jesus from... But there's more Jesus people than none.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, the Jesus people on Christmas don't give a fuck about Jesus. They like the shit they get under the tree, okay?
They're trying to put together that shit that they bought at IKEA.
Oh, yeah.
And the... Or goddamn some Lego... Insidious Lego thing with a million different little parts.
You mean, yeah, what? They're not trying to sit around all day and emulate Christ?
A year later, he wrote The Case for Christmas, a column for the Duke newspaper.
Yes.
In it, he said, again, we talked the other day about how he said something about atheists not having any morality or something like that.
Duh.
In this one, he said, quote, "In contrast to the brutally cold hedonism of the atheist view..."
Gee, what's that perv into?
"Christmas is a time filled with warmth and spirit."
Oh, yes. Let me get out my assless chaps.
The brutally cold hedonism of the atheist view. Hold on a second. What about American Christmas is not hedonistic?
I don't know.
And the epitome of capitalistic spend orgying.
I mean, our whole economy rotates around the holiday season, right? People going into department stores and buying up bullshit.
From August.
Black Friday.
On, right.
It goes on and on and on. We're just selling shit.
He wrote a couple times about feminism.
Okay.
In 2005, he wrote, "Sorry, feminists."
Oh my. He's not a feminist.
Quote, "What feminists don't realize is that bosses simply want to run a successful business. They will reward and promote whichever employees are doing the best job. If John sells more than Jill, he gets promoted. If Jill sells more than John, she gets promoted. That is the simple beauty of the free market."
That is bullshit.
But let's say they both get promoted. The point is, John will get promoted and a bigger raise than Jill will get. That's the whole point.
Because Jill gets 70 cents on the dollar that Joe gets, or Bob, whoever the fuck.
He wrote, "It's vital to keep in mind what it would actually mean for women if we were to close the pay gap." Hold on, strap in, ladies.
Okay.
You're not going to like being paid and treated equally. Let me explain why. Let me mansplain why.
Oh, yeah. But even that statement acknowledges the sexism. The pay gap. If you acknowledge pay gap, then you're acknowledging the inequality. But he says the inequality is justified?
It's vital to keep in mind what it would actually mean for women if we were to close the pay gap. For many, it would mean giving up a noble career in social working or putting in 50 and 60 hour weeks and not being able to spend time with the family.
Oh, that's right, because you're just a little Gatling gun that shoots out babies.
It would mean trading in jobs like housekeeping.
Holy fuck.
For night shifts doing road repairs.
What is he even talking about?
And why not?
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, I've seen women on road crews. They work just as fucking hard.
Why are you on a road crew anyway?
Ladies, you better watch what you ask for. You're going to lose your nice little foofy housekeeping job, which this little punk cunt.
Yes.
I would love to have him spend a week as a housekeeper.
Oh, yeah. Fuck him.
Like
there's
at a hotel
no way
or something.
Spindly little fuckhead
Holy
can do that.
Shit.
I mean, he works in. What is he? He works in politics.
It would mean trading in jobs like housekeeping for night shifts doing road repairs. Your simple little dusting job, ladies. You're going to be out there swinging a big giant hammer and sweating.
And by the way, Steven, what do you do all day that's so fucking hard? You sit in your office at the White House, suck Trump off, then go say some racist shit on camera?
It would mean giving up the joy of being home during your child's first years of life.
What about the guy being home? Why don't you have that? Why don't you take your big dick and your balls and watch Junior while your wife is on the road cruise?
How about you work out a way where people get more paid leave time to have be with their family?
Or why don't we do what Elon Musk says?
Oh, the
let's automate everything.
They're trying to
send me a fucking check.
His whole point in that article was it's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/crabdiving, was that eventually we're just going to end up with these guaranteed minimum incomes.
I love it.
Which has been tried in small test areas and worked quite spectacularly. There was that one in there was one in Canada, I think it was it was a town like in the middle of fuck all where.
Right.
And they were just like, right, we're going to try this. We're going to give everybody, I don't know, $1,000 a month.
Right.
That's you just get from the government. Yeah. You get a check for $1,000 a month.
Then what? You pay the pan flute.
But they found out that that's one of the right tropes is that, well, you're just going to have people saying you're smoking marijuana and playing video games. And there that happened occasionally. However,
right.
It ends up being cheaper. Because there's no other net.
You don't need all that other shit.
You don't need welfare and housing and everything because everybody's got that. And I guess you could, if people were not implementing it wisely, if people were having a drug problem or something, treat it as a healthcare problem.
Oh, okay.
And maybe then you would have laws where you say, okay, look, we're going to take your $1,000 a month and send it directly to your landlord or directly to some sort of food source that delivers food to you to make sure
you're eating
that you're actually spending that money on at least the basic subsistence.
Yes.
But it also showed that, there were people that quit horrible shit jobs to sit and play the guitar or to sit and write poetry and stuff. But guess what happened? People started enjoying those people were playing the guitar and started paying money to go see those people perform.
Gee.
Or maybe paid a person to for his poetry and to recite. Like all of a sudden everybody was happy and the arts started flourishing and things like that. And
imagine
you get rid of that fucking puritanical work your knuckles to the bone every day and then only then will the Lord love thee and bless thee with maybe not dropping dead tomorrow or tonight.
Oh, yeah. How nice. What a great society.
Yeah.
Look, everybody's not working their fucking fingers to the bone. Oh, by the way, we're getting some confirmation on Twitter. The locking themselves in apartments. We were talking about that earlier. You said Trump said during his weird little fucking speech.
Yes,
that
yes.
The inner cities are so bad. People are locking themselves in their apartments. He says this was depicted, this is EF Sacramento on Twitter, said this was depicted in one of the Oscar-nominated movies. That's where he also gets his info.
Oh, God.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he probably saw a commercial on Fox for one of the movies.
Twitler saw a trailer to an Oscar movie.
Steve Doocy interviewed one of the actresses, and I saw the trailer. It was amazing.
Because he definitely didn't see that movie.
No,
I ain't gonna see that Oscar nominated.
They did watch Finding Dory.
Did he really?
Wasn't that the story that was one of the first things they did in the White House? Is, you know, was they went into the first movie they rented at the White House screening room was Finding Dory.
Is that how's that White House screening room?
Can
work?
I get porn on this thing?
Oh yeah! Oh my God! I've got a 4-story IMAX lesbian porn. I'm gonna watch. Yeah. They pee on each other.
Can I get smell-o-vision?
Oh God! you gotta watch his twitler. You never know.
In 2005, we're still talking about Trump advisor Stephen Miller. There was a scandal back in the early 2000s. Former Education Secretary Bill Bennett, a warm and fuzzy human being, made a comment.
Oh, I remember that motherfucker.
Made a comment that one could hypothetically reduce crime by, quote, aborting every black baby in this country. You can reduce crime by aborting every black baby in this country.
Every one of them. God.
Now, needless to say, that that did not go over well.
That's a...
However...
Jeez. What a dick.
Of that scandal, Stephen Miller wrote for his newspaper...
Yes.
Quote, as soon as the opportunity presents itself, you will be decried as a racist. Then boycotted, smeared, and blacklisted. With the scent of blood in the air, the left descended on Bennett like a pack of wolves. He said you should abort every black baby in the country if you want to get rid of hypothetically reduced crime. That's kind of racist-y.
Yeah, and the other thing is it's employing abortion. Isn't that a big thing? You guys are all against abortion?
Yeah.
Except with black people? Is that what you're saying?
No, they're still against abortion there, but once they're born...
Bill Bennett, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the dude that he wrote a book, The Depth of Outrage, during the whole Clinton scandal? Remember the Clinton scandal when Bill used Monica Lewinsky as a humidor?
Yeah, he's a... he was Secretary of Education. He's a pundit politician.
He's like a cock, right?
He was director of the Office of National Drug Policy under George H.W. Bush.
Wow, warm and fuzzy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So he...
Bye.
Throw him in jail.
I'm on board every black baby. Good God.
On the 5th anniversary of 9/11, Stephen Miller wrote, "We oppose common sense security measures. We give driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Meanwhile, our enemy yearns to attack with all the force of September 11th multiplied 100 times. What will it take for us to understand?"
God damn.
That's why he fits perfectly in with the Bannonite and Trumpite stupid.
The
Muslims. Yeah, they just can't wait to get a nuke and shove it in our assholes and pull the trigger.
Right. Yeah, it's very.
You know what I mean? Detonate it.
Very specific kink.
I don't know what this has to do with. It says, "Welcome to the Durham Petting Zoo, Durham, North Carolina."
Okay.
It has to do with interactions between Duke students and the residents of Durham.
Uh-oh.
He wrote, "If we want to stay on campus or to limit our interaction with Durham to Cosmic Cantina."
Yes.
I don't know what that is. "Or perhaps just delivery drivers, then we have nothing to apologize for. If anything, the insistence on interacting with Durham locals is condescending to town residents. Durham isn't a petting zoo. The residents won't get lonely or irritable if we don't play with them."
What the fuck? The residents won't get lonely or irritable if we don't play with them.
I don't know. The college is probably encouraging students to get out in the community and meet community members and interact with the town and stuff like that. And he's like, "Ooh, I don't know if we want to do that." My feeling is there may be brown people in Durham.
I think you're right, Pat.
And he may not want to exactly.
God, this guy is a piece of shit.
He said, "Duke, in lockstep with the modern American university, worships at the altar of multiculturalism.
Good Lord.
As we obsess over, adulate, and extol the non-American cultures, we ignore the culture we all hold in common." Every year,
Or white culture.
"Every year, Page Auditorium is packed. to celebrate Indian and Asian culture, while crucial American cultural events like Thanksgiving, Christmas, President's Day, and Veterans Day are ignored and forgotten.
What world are they ignored and forgotten?
What are we supposed to do for Veterans Day? Are we all supposed to get together?
Well, we get a
I mean, not for President's Day.
I don't know. You're supposed to get together and dress up as your favorite president.
Oh, spectacular.
Right. I don't know. I don't fucking know. How are those ignored? How can you say Christmas is ignored? I just don't get that. I mean, it's not ignored. It's up our ass.
Apparently, some of his hit list of whiteitude. Our culture includes Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jackie Wilson, Theodore Roosevelt, Douglas MacArthur, Milton Friedman.
God damn.
Edgar Allan Poe, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Thomas Edison, and again, for emphasis, Elvis Presley.
Is he just listing off prominent white people?
Well, Jackie Wilson. I don't know how Jackie Wilson got in there.
Yeah.
But
maybe we should rename our show and call it Crazy Fucking Things Conservative White Motherfuckers Say. It's just bizarre.
He wrote something called Farewell in 2007.
Oh.
Maybe it was his last screed for the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
He said, inside our borders, the nation of E Pluribus Unum threatens to be fractured across ethnic lines by racial animus and divisive multiculturalism.
He's worried the white people are going away. That's what that is. Goodbye. Farewell. Farewell, whitey.
Wait. Divisive multiculturalism?
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
That means, you know.
How is multiculturalism divisive? Isn't it just the opposite?
No. Fuck you.
Multiculturalism.
You're killing my white culture, man. You're killing my white
culture
vibe.
Nobody wants to kill it, but you need to be able to tolerate the other ones, you fucking ass white.
You hate Christmas.
We suffer, he says.
Yes.
From sagging patriotism.
Oh, come on. What? We don't. Who do we not hate enough?
Growing malaise.
Growing. It's growing.
My malaise grows all the time.
No, it's all over the floor.
And loss of faith in the noble history and principles that have made us great.
Pardon me while I throw up in my mouth.
So he's right up there in that Make America Great Again.
Oh, sure.
Bullshit.
That's what these fucking racist idiots think in the middle of nowhere. They're like, hey, man, nobody cares about me and my racist views. Fuck you.
Also attending Duke at the time, white nationalist Richard Spencer.
Okay. A little Nazi hipster fuck.
Foppish little Nazi fuck.
Yeah, it was so horrible when that guy hit him. Oh, my God.
It was really bad. Don't watch it over and over and over and have popcorn and smile.
Right.
He told Mother Jones last October that Miller was even more outspoken in meetings at the Duke Conservative Union.
Jesus.
Where the two were apparently bonding, I don't know, over reach-arounds.
Right.
I'll poke a hole in my hood.
Sure. Give me one of them Nazi
for you.
Hand jobs. Oh, yeah. Poke a hole in my hood. I put a little fuck. You can put a little fuck on my clan robe, boy.
I'm going to move my eye hole down to the mouth for you.
You don't think there's ever been two guys in clan robes to fuck each other in the ass?
Oh,
absolutely, man. That happens all the time. This is my favorite part of the clan meeting. Pull up that robe. Let me suck off your white Nazi dick, boy.
Like the airing of grievances.
Fuck me with that Aryan cock. Every Festivus.
He said they bonded over, quote, concerns that immigrants from non-European countries were not assimilating.
Oh, shit, guys.
Assimilate.
Them brown people ain't acting white enough. Fuck you.
Last October.
Right.
Stephen Miller, white national. I mean, Richard Spencer.
Yes.
White nationalist Nazi fuckwad.
Why are these assholes constantly worried that, like, the English language is going to disappear from America? And they think they're... What do they care?
Because they're white.
Okay.
He said, This is the Richard Spencer last speaking of Stephen Miller. It's funny no one's picked up on the Stephen Miller connection. I knew him very well when I was at Duke, but I'm kind of glad no one's talked about this because I don't want to harm Trump.
Wow. I don't want to harm
Trump. So even Richard Spencer knew that if it was more widely publicized that he and Stephen Miller were testicle tickling buddies, then that
I don't know that anybody in really college liked that
testicle tickling.
No, come on, that's got to be uncomfortable. Quit tickling me! Ah! I don't know.
I define tickling.
yeah, I don't know.
The so there you go. He tried to, you know, and Stephen Miller has distanced himself. There were people who said that they described Richard Spencer as the mentor, the Mr. Miyagi to Stephen Miller's Karate Kid, so to speak, there right. at Duke as far as white nationalist fuckholery. And and he...
fuckholery?
But they deny that.
Yes.
But they would, obviously, if Stephen yes. Miller has the knowledge enough and the ability to see his own taint on someone. Not I mean, like, put a mirror down, like women are supposed to look at their own vajayjay and admire.
I see my own taint.
Admire
in you.
Their flower. Yeah. No, I mean, he. Yeah. I mean, you know,
I'm admiring my flower in you.
I mean, stain as in taint.
Right. Oh, look, I've stained
He
you.
Understands his own stain upon someone.
Bleh.
So for that's why he said it's good
yes.
that they don't know that Steve Miller and I were bud buds.
Right.
Because I don't want to hurt Trump.
Little Nazi fuck buddies.
There you go.
Wow.
Frankly amazing.
Oh, totally crazy as fuck, man.
Truly amazing. Remember that one?
Yeah. That's a theme song from, was it Amazing Vacation Homes?
Something like that. Some cable, obscure cable.
Dumbass cable show. I'm sure Trump knows the show.
Where?
Guy sits around watches cable
rich
all day.
People would go out of the country, right?
No, it's just.
Wasn't it mostly out of the country?
No,
there were some that
show,
were here. Yeah.
They would say, hey, look at this amazing vacation home. And it was either like a crazy home built out of an airplane or a boat or into the side of a mountain. And then we would just, the show would be about people talking about how kick-ass the home was. That's all.
And there was a co-hostess.
Yes.
Who was also apparently a skilled carpentress.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
Who would show the people around.
Right, right. It was
pretty tight clothing.
Yeah. I don't think the show's on anymore.
I believe, I don't know. I don't think it is.
For truly amazing vacation homes, go to Amazon. Buy the whole fucking season. Crabdiving.com/Amazon.
Do that. Please, 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 please. Yesterday we heard from Rick Wiles that former now, thank the gods, National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
God damn.
Had been forced out, quote, by devil-worshipping Luciferian demon-possessed maniacs.
Duh. Unquote, I told you.
Unquote, who are the leaders of the global child diddling ring.
Oh, yeah.
Also known as Pizzagate.
Cha-ching.
We also found out from Brian Fisher.
Oh, God, what a vomit.
That the real brown shirts are the American, are the homosexuals.
Yes.
In America.
Totally.
Trying to impose their bullshit upon people.
Can I ask a serious question? Are all Nazis yeah. gay? Are all gay people Nazis?
No, but he came up with that. That's a I think it's a Brian Fisherian thing. One
yes.
of his buddies wrote a book,
right?
The Pink Swastika or something. I thought we talked about it a couple of days ago.
I never heard of that,
but I forgot about it.
Is that on Audible.com?
I doubt it. But these idiots have been soundly
yes.
discredited with their bullshit theory. They're Christo loons.
Okay.
And their bullshit theory, and they put out a quote history book of all kinds of facts and shit,
ooh.
Proving that the Nazis were actually secretly homosexuals.
I told you. The whole book.
That's what the whole book's about. Jesus, is that the Nazis Christ. Were secretly had a gay agenda.
That's a crazy.
And that's what he said. Yeah, that's why he said that. They're like the brown shirts.
Yeah.
Just like the Nazis before them. The homosexual agenda here.
That's crazy, man.
I've got a couple. I there's so much for Faithless Friday tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my
Tune
God.
In from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific. We lean towards the preachers a little bit more and those that are trying to stick their talons into religious freedom here.
Hello, Sky God. You're on notice.
But there's just too much I've already got for tomorrow. So we're going to dip in again a little bit. To some of the news that's been piling up here.
Oh, I can't wait.
We've got a group. This is sentenced a few days ago now, where a New York State parent, there were some New York State parents who were sentenced in the roles in the fatal beating of one of their sons.
Okay.
And the injuring of another.
Oh, shit. I remember the story.
During a, quote, counseling session at the family's church.
Wasn't this kid restrained with an extension cord? He was tied? What the fuck, man?
They were charged with, I don't know how they got the way of this. Seven people were charged. Pastor, who cares about all these assholes, what their names are. They said that they had a spiritual counseling session spiraling into what ended up being an all-night gang attack on Lucas and Christopher Leonard at the Word of Life Christian Church.
Okay, red flag right fucking there. You see, you know,
you said with the weird names,
dude,
you gotta,
the weirder the names, the more fucked up it is. If I see Word of Life, whatever church, I'm out of there, baby. Fuck that.
This is a red brick former elementary school in New Hartford, New York.
Fuck you.
That serves as both a church and a home for the pastors.
Hello. Oh, okay. It's like a little parsonage. A little torture barn, apparently.
The pastor was charged along with the pastor's mother.
Oh, God.
In 13-count indictment.
How fucked up is this?
As were the pastor's two brothers, Joseph and Daniel Irwin.
Oh, God.
The victim's father.
Yes.
The victim's half-sister, two other church members.
Oh, God.
Anyway... They were all charged with second degree murder in the deaths of one of the boys. They all faced charges of manslaughter, kidnapping, assault, gang assault. 17-year-old Lucas survived.
Oh my God. This kid nearly got beat to death by his relatives and his pastor and all this other and his half sister. That's horrible, man.
At a hearing last month, they say that the pastor asked the Leonard family and some others to stay behind for a meeting after an eight-hour Sunday service.
Oh, my
God. Eight-hour Sunday service.
Oh, really? It's just so fucking stupid.
Over what was estimated to be six more hours... the teen that survived said he was pummeled with fists, whipped with a 4-foot folded electrical cord on the back and elsewhere, suffering injuries to his torso and genitals.
Oh, my God.
Injuries to his genitals.
What is wrong with these motherfuckers?
He said eventually he was taken to another room, left sitting in a corner with earplugs and earmuffs, so he couldn't hear what was being said around him. Before being dragged back into church, in the sanctuary, he said he saw his 19-year-old brother lying on the ground and didn't appear to be breathing.
Oh, my God.
They say that the meeting was called because 19-year-old Lucas had indicated he wanted to leave the church.
I mean, can you blame him? I mean, really, it sounds like a lovely group of people. These fuckers can't imagine why you'd want to leave. They're assholes.
It's a rural part of New Hartford, they say. The church has been around for 30 years.
Where is this?
It's a town of 22,000 people, 50 miles from Syracuse, New York.
Oh, my God. Get me the fuck out of here.
Listen to this. How does this stay in business?
I don't know.
The church once had 40 members, now has closer to 20. How can a church survive with 20 members?
Maybe they're all tithing a shitload, and I don't know. I mean, also they're in the middle of nowhere.
True. You know. I guess it doesn't cost that much.
It's probably just a building. I mean, I don't know.
No wonder they want to beat the shit out of you if you leave.
They can't.
They're taking 5% of their of their flock.
I mean, also they got to buy electrical cords and.
So anyway, the parents were found guilty.
They need supplies when they beat people.
The parents were not, surprisingly, I don't know how these people were not found guilty of murder, but they were guilty. They pled down to assault.
Jesus.
Bruce Leonard, the father, was sentenced to 10 years in prison. These people delivered up this child and were there
as
their
children
were beaten.
They must have
to beat the Jesus into them.
They must have talked to the preacher and the other people in that church and said, listen, my son wants to leave. What do we do?
Tell them to hang out after Sunday prayer service.
Yeah, we'll talk to them. We'll beat him.
Bring an electrical cord.
We're going to beat him to an inch of their life.
Bring some salt.
We're going to intimidate them into staying.
Yeah, we're going to beat the Jesus out of him.
Or beat the Jesus into him.
Or beat the devil out of him.
Right.
So the father was sentenced to 10 years in prison. His wife received a 5-year sentence.
Okay.
They pleaded guilty to assault, and I guess we're still waiting to hear about the fate of some of these other assholes from that loving church.
Are they going to shut the church down? Anything like that? I mean, God.
I'm assuming if the pastors that live there and half of their family done been arrested.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
That maybe the church is on hold right now. Yeah. Right. Maybe if you're looking for a cool place to live, there might be a former school that's now a church.
Hey, another religion success story. Look at that.
Yeah, congrats.
All in the name of Jesus. What would Jesus do, by the way? Get an electrical cord and beat the fuck out of somebody?
No, horrific, right?
Well, yeah. So fucked up, man.
And you know, we've talked about, what is it, Idaho, where they're still thinking about passing laws that, you know, maybe if you want to pray your kid's diabetes away instead of giving them insulin, that'll be okay.
Yeah, because you want to be tolerant of somebody's religious faith.
Yeah.
Even if it involves letting them die, letting your kids die when you don't have to.
That's one of the scary things people say about, you know, with Trump, nobody gives a shit because we all know that Trump's just a big fucking fraud when it comes to the whole Jesus stuff.
For sure. He's not doing any of this shit.
But Pence, on the other hand, would be a definite creepy.
Well, he thinks the Earth is 6,000 fucking years old.
Yes. And the whole gay thing.
Oh, right.
Not real happy with
it. It's an abomination.
Speaking of, maybe a little good news here.
Yes. Crab diving good news.
In a rare 9-0 decision.
Okay.
Court decision. In the Washington State Supreme Court.
Okay.
The Washington Supreme Court ruled that a florist in Richland, Washington, who had refused to provide flowers to a gay couple for the wedding.
Oh, fuck.
Violated anti-discrimination laws.
Oh, yeah.
The court ruled unanimously that Baronelle Stutzman discriminated against longtime customers Bob Ingersoll and Kurt Fried.
Yes.
When she refused to do the flowers for their 2013 wedding because of her, quote, religious opposition to same-sex marriage.
Fuck you. Go do the flowers and shut the fuck up.
She referred him to several, they referred them to several other florists. Meanwhile, they had been, she was fine with them being customers up till that point.
So what the fuck? I mean, that must mean she's a true zealot, right?
Yeah.
Which is bananas.
Stutzman attorneys say they are appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court, which I don't know if it gets to, if they get to the Supreme Court by the time.
Schittler puts another face? One on there.
What's his face is in there. Yeah, I don't know about this one. Although the fact that 9-0, even in Washington.
Yeah. I mean, but this is archaic.
They're also hoping that President Trump will issue an executive order protecting religious freedom.
Oh, great. Well, you know, maybe that's actually good. So he signs an executive order protecting these lunatics, their freedom to not give these gay people flowers for their fucking wedding. If the Supreme Court, if some court declares that executive order unconstitutional, Well,
they follow it. That's the problem we've been having. Now, today he did say, right. He even mentioned the horrible wrong decision by the court.
Yeah.
But he did throw in that, which I respect. I respect right. The courts. I think it's wrong, but I respect it. That's, I guess, a good sign.
I mean, but
for
not,
those of us who hope he's not going to say, fuck the courts, do what I say.
Yeah. I mean...
Of which 51% of his supporters think should be okay. Let's not forget those boot-licking fuck fascists that think it should be okay for him to just summarily overrule the courts. 51%.
I mean, how does he say he respects
his
courts?
His people.
When he says a so-called judge. And then he impugns that. What is he? During the campaign, he said something about the judge, about a... You know, was it an immigration law or something someone ruled on? And he's like, well, he should recuse himself because he's Latino.
Oh, his. It was his own court decision. About
was it Trump University or?
Some, one of them, yeah. I think it was Trump University. One of those.
Right.
What
a dick.
The florist had said that because other florists in the area were willing to provide flowers, no harm had resulted to those homosexuals because of her refusal.
Yeah, but why should they have to go elsewhere because of their sexual preference, their orientation? Who gives a shit?
The court majority wrote, "We emphatically reject this argument. We agree with the plaintiffs, that this case is no more about access to flowers than civil rights cases were about access to sandwiches."
Yeah.
As every other court to address the question is concluded, public accommodation laws do not simply guarantee access to goods or services. Instead, they serve a broader societal purpose, eradicating barriers to the equal treatment of all citizens in the commercial marketplace.
That makes total sense. I get that.
The court also rejected one of her other claims that her floral arrangements are a form of artistic expression and therefore protected under the First Amendment.
How the fuck? That is bizarre.
My famous red roses with purple sprigs of lavender.
If I use those at your gay wedding, it fucks with my artistic expression. It stifles it.
What in the
hell kind of argument is that? That's weird. your relationship is fucking with my art. Your gayness is fucking with my art. That's stupid.
They had their wedding. The couple sued under the state's anti-discrimination laws.
Yes.
Became a high-profile case.
This is bizarre. my artistic integrity.
A county superior court judge ruled that her religious beliefs did not allow her to discriminate against the couple.
Yeah.
And that she must provide flowers for same-sex weddings or stop doing weddings at all.
Or move to fucking Afghanistan, dickhead. I don't know what to tell you. In America, everybody's free. We don't discriminate against gay people because we're not dickheads.
Right.
We're trying to not be dickheads. I mean, we're kind of dickheads right now. We're trying to get better.
One of the ACLU lawyers said, you know, it's not groundbreaking law. If this case were about an interracial couple, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, replace gay with black.
Or anything. Yeah. Jewish.
Right.
Anything.
It's not a... It's very frustrating because it's not a hard concept to grasp.
And a lot of the dummies, it's that's not. Where they pull out the, well, it's a... You can't choose to be black, but you could choose to suck a cock.
And again, we've said this, so what?
Which we, first of all, we reject that because I do believe it's a biological thing. And second of all, so what?
What if it were?
Right, so what?
Big deal. How does that fucking change?
So what?
Why should you be able to discriminate
it's a choice
if
or not.
It's a
your religion
choice.
Is your choice.
Right. Oh, that's a great point. So now I can discriminate you against you because you believe in Jesus.
Religion is a choice.
That's a fucking choice, dumbass.
Very dumb.
Meanwhile, the dumb part is like you're letting your stupid bigotry and your fucking homophobia fuck with your business. Weren't you going to charge those gay people for their fucking wedding?
And nobody's asking you to take anything in your hole.
Oh, right.
No
That's
one's
true.
Asking you to lick a beaver.
Wait a second. You're telling me?
They're asking you to shove some flowers in a goddamn vase.
And not up your ass. Nothing's getting shoved in your
ass.
God. No, nobody's ever saying in the town square every Wednesday at noon there's going to be mandatory butt fucking.
And you're not doing it for free.
Yes.
You're not participating in the event. You're a paid flower whore.
You're a flower whore. You don't have to do anything in the
way. Or a cupcake whore.
Right.
Or whatever.
You know what, man? It's so frustrating, too, because now you begin to think, like, how do these idiots, these homophobes, how do they see a gay wedding? What do you think goes on at a gay wedding? Cum showers? I mean, I don't understand. Freddie Mercury blaring on a speaker?
Yeah.
What do you think happens?
Oh, sure. Mandatory.
Mandatory blowing.
Mandatory rimming.
Yeah, get to that rimming.
Yeah.
Then you can throw some rice or something. By the way, you're not supposed to use rice at a wedding. It's bad for the birds.
It's bad for birds.
It makes their stomachs explode.
Throw bird seed.
Big cloud of feathers.
Throw rocks.
Yeah.
Throw
rocks. You're telling me we're going to replace that part of the wedding with stones? Oh, wow. That's kinky. Who's into that? No rock at me. It's the funniest thing ever.
We've got a little bit of, well, you know, with all the homeland security stuff going on and the, you know, trying to keep Muslimish-esque people out.
We got to make America wide again.
All over the world.
Fuck you.
Apparently, in India, there's a different kind of problem going on.
Yes. They tigers over there. Fuck that.
A 36-year-old man.
Okay.
Was flying from Singapore to Hyderabad, India.
Hyderabad. Okay. I think it's Hyderabad.
Okay.
It's the one thing I know.
And he had some weird lamps inside his luggage. Authorities at the Rajiv Gandhi International Airport were suspicious of these 8 LED lamps that he had in his luggage. It attracted the attention of the customs staff.
Okay.
Staff.
Right.
When they opened the LED lamps in the presence of this gentleman.
Yes.
They found 8 gold bars weighing roughly 800 grams, deftly concealed inside the back covers of these lamps. Apparently, gold smuggling is a deal.
Right.
In India.
Why?
It says gold smuggling is a common issue in India due to the country being the world's largest gold consumer.
What do you do with gold when you buy it, though?
Usually more traditional methods of smuggling include reshaping the gold into belt buckles, mixing it with other metals, etc.
Right.
But after they noticed they said, well, you know, did you have any other gold with you that you were transporting?
Right.
He was like, oh, no. Well, they ran him through a metal detector, apparently, okay, a few times and kept getting the same result.
Oh, man.
Turns out he had shoved.
Oh, God damn it. In his ass.
12 gold bars weighing 1.2 kilograms in his rectum.
How did he do that? How much? 1.2 kilograms. What is that? Is that a lot? Is that a lot?
2.5 pounds?
2.5 pounds of gold in your ass. What was it in the shape of? Bars?
Bars, it said. Well, Smurfs.
What?
I don't know. Little golden Smurfs.
Oh, yeah.
Papa Smurfs.
I'm just wondering.
Punctured my colon.
You don't think it's like, you know, I'm just curious. God, bars.
Yeah.
Shit.
So the gentleman,
how do you sit down the whole time in a flight?
How are you comfortable that flight from Singapore? I mean, that had to be like hours, right?
You practice. I don't know.
What, you start off with like a BB of gold up your ass and
yes, and gradually work your way up. Sure. It's hard work, just like anything else.
So the gentleman, they figure he was totally carrying about $80,000 worth of gold.
Listen, I'm going to ask you this last one more time.
Hosed off the ones of stuff they found up and in.
Is there anything in your ass you want to tell me about? Don't lie to me. We're going to fucking find it.
Are you carrying any more? And they're like,
hey, check that guy.
With
check
the wand, right? They're
yeah, wave
as
it
they
over.
Get near his asshole.
Oh, yeah. The cough. How did they get these?
He's like, I have a Prince Albert.
Oh, did he just pull it out of there? Oh, God damn. So, God, he had the gold in the lamp and in his ass.
Yes, in a bunch of lamps. And had he not, I mean, had he not carried all those weird LED lamps in his luggage,
right.
Eight LED lamps,
yes,
they might not have, he might have been okay. He just would have had the shit up his, I mean, the stuff up his ass with the shit.
So what's the takeaway?
Only shove it up your ass.
Right. Don't get greedy.
Don't get greedy. Don't try to put the gold you're smuggling into India into the...
just keep it in your asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think there's ever anybody, you know, you can have these elective surgeries to get breast augmentation? You know, you can...
Sure.
All kinds of
vaginal
shit.
Rejuvenation?
Yes. You can have your lips thickened. Do you think
anybody... Labiaplasty?
Does anybody ever get a flesh pocket put in their
body? Oh, those lips.
Oh, yes. A flesh pocket.
A fleshlight.
Yes. No. A
pocket
flesh.
A second hole? For
like
what?
Like a kangaroo.
Where you could put a key?
A sack. Anything.
I mean, I want to say no, but then when you think about it, probably,
why not?
Probably at some point.
$80,000 worth of gold in your asshole? You're telling me that if I could, I don't know, you put a little flesh pocket somewhere and you have it sewed up before your trip and right when you get home you have
just
it unsewn?
Just get a really obese person and just pick a fold.
All right. You put some right. Fucking silver.
But the metal detectors will still
side boob.
The metal detectors will still get people, right?
No, had he not put the shit in the LED, like you said, he would have fucking.
Well, right, he wouldn't have been.
He would have got away with it.
Wouldn't have gotten flagged.
But they used the extra special metal detectors on him because they wanted to be sure.
Breaking news is that that admiral that we talked about yesterday that Trump offered Flynn's job to.
Oh, I'd say no. fuck that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, I don't
apparently, he said, you know, maybe not.
Do you want to work for these vipers?
No, and I think that's quite telling.
It's got to be a problem because you got to assume anyone who would take a job from Trump is probably a shithead. Maybe.
Two sources familiar with the decision are saying that Admiral Harward, Vice Admiral Robert Harward, turned down the job in part because he wanted to bring his own team.
And they wouldn't let him.
Yeah, probably. Hmm. So he's like, fuck that.
Maybe his team wasn't racist enough or something.
Maybe he's sane. I think he's... He sees
Trump
ship sinking, and he's like, fuck that.
Well, that's actually, he said, fuck no, are you out of your fucking mind?
You're right.
Did you see that press conference today? Do you want to work for that guy?
Right. How could you even consider it? I mean, he probably was like, he went home and he's like, look, honey, I'm going to wait till tomorrow to make it look good.
Oh, yes.
And when he asked me, I tried not to go, fuck no.
Right.
I held that in.
That's like as a Titanic is sinking into the cold Atlantic. They're like, hey, let's see if we can get somebody to pilot the ship.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't get anybody hired.
Jeez. More hypocrisy.
Yes.
From Morning Joe. You mentioned this earlier. God.
Fuck you guys.
Listen to what Mika had to say this morning.
Okay.
Or was it yesterday? Yesterday, about Kellyanne Conway.
Okay.
As Joe mentioned, at times in recent days, Kellyanne Conway has struggled to be on the same page, to say the least, as the rest of the staff in the White House. Take a look.
General Flynn does enjoy the full confidence of the president.
He's speaking to the vice president, to Vice President Pence, relative to the conversation the vice president had with General Flynn, and also speaking to various other people about what he considers the single most important subject there is, our national security.
I know Rick, Joe was just saying that she books herself on these shows. We know for a fact she tries to book herself on this show. I won't do it because I don't believe in fake news or information that is not true, and that is... Every time I've ever seen her on television, something's askew, off, or incorrect. Another piece of news concerns Joe. You have...
Dear Joe?
Right.
Right.
Some reporting on this as well.
Well, it's actually the same thing I've heard since Donald Trump was elected by his top aides. Mm-hmm. And again, confirmed it last night. She's out of the loop. She's in none of the key meetings. She goes out and... books herself often. And, you know, I said this morning, I saw some of the headlines yesterday and felt badly because the language I used was so harsh. And I'm going to take it back about her, quote, lying. I think, Rick Tyler, it is equally as bad that a spokesperson in the White House actually goes out and makes things up. She doesn't know. She doesn't have the information. She's not in any of the key meetings.
One of those theories is that she's behind some of the leaks, trying to put a shank into some of the other toads there in the swamp that got on the lily pad closer to Trump than did when she thinks she's the one that helped him win.
Infighting.
And but she's really, from all reports, not in on, you know, it's a boys club. It's Bannon. It's Jared Kushner. It was Flynn.
Well, also, she's gotten a lot of bad press.
And Reince Priebus.
I mean, don't you think it's sort of a...
Because she's out of the loop. That's what Morning Joe is saying, that...
She's tainted.
Because they don't keep her in the loop and give her the information to go out there, that she's booking herself and making shit up.
Right. And also, too, I mean, don't you think public opinion is turning on Kellyanne Conway? She's seen as not credible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it looks like the... Plus, she's a woman.
Yeah.
Trump.
Right.
As much as he says, I love women, I respect women, he doesn't.
Wow. So now they're not going to have her on anymore.
And she thought she was going to be in the inner circle, and it's turned out to be an old white boys club, right. Except for Jared, who's a young white boy.
Oh, yeah, bullshit.
We're back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Faithless Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 Eastern type coast. Don't forget iTunes, Stitcher, crabdiving.com. Help us out at Liberal Screaming Media here, buying shit through our Amazon hole. crabdiving.com/Amazon. Follow Ryan on his social media. Find out where and when he's going to be doing his comedy. Go to @RatedRComedy on Instagram or on Twitter. Or go to his website, which is RatedRComedy.com.
Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter and Instagram @VileExperience. Oh, so freaking Vile.
Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.